As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And yes, you found it. It's the Rusty Satellite Show, the weekly podcast that features the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, wrapping up another exciting week. This show gives me a great opportunity to talk to some very interesting folks and lining things up and all that. I tell you, it's a lot of fun. This week, I've talked to my guest, R. Stu Pollard, a filmmaker who splits his time between Louisville and Santa Monica, and also Craig Greenberg. And I'm going to talk with Craig about the 21C hotel chain that he is president of. He probably wouldn't like me saying it's chain, but they've got six or seven of them now. And it's a really unique, very interesting business. One that we can certainly be proud to have started in Louisville. They sure do know how to grab attention down there at 21C. So we'll talk about some things that they're doing down there later in the show. First of all, you realize it is February. It is almost Valentine's Day. This show is one of the ones just before Valentine's Day, and you need to be – Valentine's Day this year is on a Saturday, and that means you should be making your dinner reservations like now. And I encourage you to call my friends at Louie Louie's, the home of Detroit Authentic Style Pizza. And it's a really great place. It's right up the street from where I live. And Mike and Kelly and all the folks there are just awesome. And the food is just incredible. It's a very romantic spot as well. Longtime residents might remember Ferd Grassani's in the same building. It was a legendary restaurant in this part of the country. So anyway, I encourage you to give them a call, 266-7599. Tell them Rick sent you, the Rusty Satellite Show, and get yourself a reservation for Valentine's Day or the day before, or go out to see some great music out there. There's always something going on. That's Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza. All right, well, let's move on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the next segment. I'll talk about some of the news and happenings in the city of Louisville. But first, let's get on to my first guest, and it's Stu Pollard. I barely remembered, and once I talked to Stu, I remembered seeing the movie Nice Guys Sleep Alone. It's a feature-length film produced by Stu, filmed here in Louisville. If you get a chance to go back and in some way watch that, I would encourage you to do so. I remember it's a great movie with a lot of a great local local landmarks in it. So Stu is now, I think, is chairman of the Louisville Film Society, and they have a big Oscar party coming up on Oscar night. I think it's February 22nd. And in this interview, you'll hear who somebody that studies film and knows some of the people involved in it thinks is going to win the Oscar for Best Picture. So let's go ahead and get into it. Here's my interview with Stu Pollard. And And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is talking movies and Oscars with Stu Pollard. Stu, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
And Stu, tell our audience that don't know, I've known about you for several years, but you're, I guess your big thing is you're involved in the Louisville Film Society, right?
Well, certainly locally, that's one of the things I'm most proud of. For the last 8 years, I guess now, I've been on the board of the Film Society, and we've put on a lot of events over the years and held the Flyover Film Festival for about 5 years, and then it turned into IF Film this past fall, a merger with the Idea Festival, and that was a big success. So it's a great way to kind of galvanize the local film community and also showcase product made by Kentucky-based filmmakers at the festival. And anyway, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all like watching movies, so, you know, I'm interested in the film business here in town. And let's go ahead and talk about the big event coming up next week.
Well, that's...
Tell me the date, because you never know when this is going to be heard.
Well, I can tell you the specifics, but the easy way to remember it is it's an Oscar party. So
okay.
It's an Oscar viewing party. So the Academy Awards are Sunday, February 22nd, and our party will kick off at 7 o'clock here at Copper and Kings, where we are doing this interview, which is a fabulous space, and I can guarantee you we will not run out of brandy. It'll be fun. We're going to be giving away prizes, and we'll of course have a ballot contest. So you can, whoever gets the highest score picks the number of winners. The highest number of winners will get rewarded accordingly, and a good time should be had by all.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like fun. I mean, this is a tremendous facility. That a lot of people probably don't know about right here in Butchertown, and. You know, so I want some help on the Oscar. I've seen a couple of the films, and I know you get this special privilege to get to see most of them. You know, let's just start out with your favorite for Best Picture.
Well, I think if you use the Golden Globes as a pretty healthy indicator, I find it hard to believe that Boyhood's not going to take the Oscar for Best Picture as well. A lot of great movies this year. I have sentimental favorites in both Birdman and American Sniper. Birdman, because a very dear friend of mine from film school did a lot of the sound editing on it, and the sound in that picture is amazing, among other elements of it that are as well. And then Bradley Cooper, who's up for Best Actor in American Sniper and does an amazing job in that movie, is a graduate of Georgetown University, where
I did not know that.
I went years ago. So we got Ahoya in the running, and we've got a film that a good friend of mine worked on in the running.
Yeah.
But all that said, I think Boyhood is the odds-on favorite to take it, and I'm not alone in that viewpoint.
Yeah, I saw that a few weeks ago, and it really is amazing. I think I guess you would probably agree, but the thing that makes that such a compelling film is seeing this young man age for, you know, 12 years, I guess. It took 12 years to make the film.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, not only with accomplishing that, which is an amazing feat in of itself, and that how they got the crew and the cast together for that many years in a row, but it's also just been fun to watch Richard Linklater evolve as a filmmaker. I mean, he's done an awful lot of amazing movies, the Before Sunset and Before Sunrise films with again Ethan Hawke and in that case Julie Delpy, and of course he started off with a movie called Slacker, did another great one that Matthew McConaughey is fabulous in called Dazed and Confused early in his career. So, and he's an independent filmmaker in terms of how he got his start. So it's, as one of those myself, it's really amazing to see him reach the pinnacle. And he's still a pretty young guy, at least by my definition. So,
I know that definition changes as we age. So let's talk a little bit about... So that party, if somebody wants to go, how do they get tickets and all that?
Well, they can go onto our website, which is louisvillefilm.org, and they can also... just Google the thing, it'll show up. So
Okay. It's
a $100 buy-in, and we guarantee you you'll get your money's worth.
Okay.
So
it sounds like it. Sounds like it. So that party's coming up. Let's talk a little bit about you and your background in film, because I know you know, we can claim you as our own in Louisville,
But your journey to, you know, first of all, I know you live in Santa Monica most of the time, and here it is in January, and you're in Louisville. There's something wrong there, right?
I should also mention that there's a phone number you can call to buy tickets, and that's 502-873-0067.
Okay.
And the admission price also includes a one-year Louisville Film Society membership.
Okay.
So to answer your question, I'm the only member of my family, immediate family anyway, who lives west of Louisville, I guess. I used to say Paducah, but I don't know anybody who lives in Paducah. So there's a lot of family gravity pulling me back. And the last 4 years, I've been dating a gal who lives here. So so that's even more gravity pulling me back.
Sure.
And the other thing is just it's, you know, Los Angeles is a city of 8 million people, so and probably even more than that if you draw the circle somewhat liberally, because it includes Pasadena and it includes La Cañada and all these little burbs,
right,
that I don't even know where half of them are, and I've been out there 20 years. So the Louisville, on the other hand, you feel like you're always 1 or 2 degrees of separation away from somebody you've known forever, it seems. And
mm-hmm.
And certainly that's that makes it feel much more like home. It'll always be home. And the other thing is, in terms of the film community, not just my involvement with the Film Society, but the ability to make movies here has always intrigued me, and it's just been a remarkably supportive community in terms of my creative efforts. And that goes all the way back to when I was in high school goofing around with a tape recorder, all the way through making Nice Guys Sleep Alone and Keep Your Distance, and now people who worked on those films as kids are making their movies, and I'm able to assist in helping them produce their films. So it's always been a very, very supportive group of people and businesses and just a total environment that is conducive to creativity for me, and I'm very grateful for that.
Okay. So your background here, though, you left, I guess you grew up in Louisville. We always ask where you went to high school, and then where you go from there? You're wearing a UK shirt, surely. That must be where you...
No, I went to Country Day. Both my parents went to the University of Kentucky. That's actually
okay.
Where they met, so that's why I was raised with blue in my veins. But from Country Day, I went to Georgetown, and most people hear me say Georgetown, and they think that
Kentucky.
That I went to Georgetown, Kentucky, which is a great school in its own right. Nothing ill to say about that place. But I actually went to the university in D.C., so I'm a Hoya. I was there in basketball chronology. I got there the year after Ewing graduated.
Oh, okay.
And I was not a gigantic Georgetown fan because Georgetown destroyed Kentucky in the 1984.
I remember. They didn't hardly score any points.
3 for 33 in the second half.
That's right. That's
against
the number.
The Hoya paranoia defense. So I remember telling one of my buddies, I said, if I ever come back from Georgetown rooting for Georgetown, you know, slap me straight. And but sure enough, within about 6 months, I'd made so many good friends there. And we had a couple of good teams when I was there. Alonzo Mourning was a freshman by the time I was a senior. And anyway, so it was fun. So from Georgetown, went to work from New York for a few years, and then got tired of wearing a suit. So I applied to grad school, got rejected from just about every place I applied except the University of Southern California. And went out there to go to school, and a few years later after that, we were making Nice Guys Sleep Alone, and it's been a wild ride ever since.
Yeah, and for our listeners who don't know that, certainly I'm familiar with that film. That was like a your first full length.
Yeah, I got
film and got some great reviews, didn't it?
Yeah, we did. You know, film school even today, and I teach at SC now as an adjunct. They do a great job of telling you how to put the thing together. They don't necessarily, in terms of the, you know, shooting day one and writing the script and all that, but they don't do a fabulous job of telling you where to find the money for these
mm-hmm.
things, nor what to do when you get done with it. So so I try to incorporate that into my curriculum a little bit. But we got really, really lucky with Nice Guys. We started with a book that was based, started with source material, a book by a guy named Bruce Feirstein, who put the words "real men don't eat quiche" into our vernacular in the mid-80s. So your older listeners will know what I'm talking about. So it was a great piece of source material to base it on. It's a catchy title. We had an amazing cast and crew. A lot of the crew were my film school buddies, and a lot of the cast were Louisvillians, including Sean O'Brien, who played the lead. He went to high school here, and we met him out in California. And the empirically easy on the eyes, Vanessa Marcel, who was just a blast to work with. So, and we're actually, that movie's actually never been available in high def before, and we spent the last year or so doing a high def transfer of that film. Okay. Takes a year because of the whole fast, good, cheap, pick two things. So, but we hope to, when that movie turns, I guess it'll turn 15 here this year, that we'll be releasing it here on high def soon. So
cool. So we can all see it again. Well,
it looks amazing. Movies in terms of, especially romantic comedies, can be somewhat subjective in terms of whether you enjoy them. We ran for a number of weeks at the Baxter Theater and played a bunch of markets and got great reviews. But whether you love or hate romantic comedies, that movie is beautifully shot, and so that's the most exciting thing about seeing it in high def.
Well, let's move on before we run out of time. I know you told me there is a top secret project in the works, and I know you're going to reveal everything about it here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Yes, breaking news. those who know me well probably wonder when the next time I'm going to direct a movie is, and I'm hoping that'll be soon. The venture I'm working on now, without giving too much away, is virtually every movie I've worked on as an independent filmmaker is built the exact same way, which is you write a script, you put together a business plan, you do a prospectus, and you take it out and you raise money, and all the investment rides on the success of this one picture. So what I'm trying to put together now is a company that will make multiple pictures and have a life cycle beyond a single film. And beyond just making features, we're going to focus on short form content as well, because the young people today are consuming short form content on Vine and on YouTube and on Vimeo. And the other thing that's really interesting from a technology standpoint is, it used to be when you made a movie, in order for people to see it, you were beholden to just a handful of gatekeepers in terms of distributors. Now, with the internet, there are a number of companies out there that allow me, the content creator, to send it directly to my audience. And in the case where we can monetize that content, we get to keep a significant share of it, which is a win for the fans, because they know the money they're spending is actually going to the creator of that content, which in theory will allow us to make more. And it's certainly a win for the content creators, because we get more of the tickets that we're selling.
Well, great. So this new project be Louisville based or combination?
It'll be like kind of like my life is, Rick. It'll be half Kentucky and half California, and hopefully we'll leverage the best of both worlds, much like I've done in the past with the features that we've made.
All right. So. Well, great, Stu. Well, we're about out of time, but Louisville Film Society is doing great things. I want to remind people about this party, Oscar Night at Copper and Kings. And anybody wants information about that, I'll put it on my website, but it's at Louisville Film Society.
Yeah. Sunday, February 22nd is Oscar night, and we'll want you there at 7 o'clock and call 873-0067 for tickets.
Okay, and your money's on Boyhood,
For Best Picture. And Michael Keaton, you mentioned this was show number 83, so I'll give a shout-out to the number 83, I want to guess, and within a year or two here, was when Michael Keaton was in Night Shift, which was really his breakthrough role, Ron Howard's movie. And anyway, so ever since he uttered corn dog in that movie, he has been a gigantic favorite of mine, and it's really neat. That it's an amazing film, and it's really neat to see him make a little bit of a comeback and enjoy the success and accreditation off of that.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, so if you're a big fan of the movies and the Oscars, that's the party to go to. I'm sort of angling my way to get a ticket into that thing. We'll see how that goes. But Interesting choice that Stu had for Best Picture. I've seen a few of those, the pictures. This week I saw the Grand Budapest Hotel. Nice movie. I don't think it's the quality that some of the other nominees are. A lot of controversy over American Sniper. I've seen that. And I did see Boyhood, Stu's choice, and I really liked that movie. It was really, really well done. So anyway, this is the part of the show where I talk about some of the things that are going on in the city, in the news. And I used to write about all this stuff when I was a blogger. I wrote 4 or 5 blog posts a day at one point and knew everything that was going on. Now I just get to sort of glance at the news and talk about it. And those of you that follow this show know I've been following this Art Park story for a long time. And the latest news just came out this week that the Anderson Genesis Group, the group that's building the Noah's Ark theme park in Kentucky, is going to file a federal discrimination lawsuit against the state because it rejected the application for tax incentives to help finance the park. Now, I don't know if you do. I have an opinion on this. I would hate to see the state contribute a dime to this project. It is a secular thing. It's a church religion based project, and that the state has no business helping that. The arguments are going to go back and forth. I think we're going to hear this for a long time. The park is under construction up there in northern Kentucky, and there's a lot of money at stake. And now the folks, the folks at the Ark Park, now they put up some billboards, and they were criticizing all the people that were criticizing them. And so now they're filing suit because they didn't get their way. I hope the state stands firm against giving these tax incentives to help finance the park. If they want to build a religious theme park, let them do it with their own money is what I say. Please don't. That's what I got to say about that. So, moving on, the other story I want to point out in politics, with the death of Jim King, the tragic death of Jim King a couple weeks ago, the Metro Council is now faced with electing someone to fill its spot. And according to an Insider Louisville story this week by Joe Sokka, there's some controversy over that because the local Democratic Party, seems to want to have a say in who the Metro Council, the replacement is selected by the Metro Council. And 13 candidates have applied, and the Metro Council will interview them, and they'll have an election, and they'll vote for whoever gets to fill the District 10 seat, which is like over in Newburgh Road, just inside the Watterson, down into Germantown. The controversy is that the party is selecting its choice for the November election. The full election is in November, and the person they select now is sort of going to serve until then. So I guess the party wants to put some pressure on the Metro Council to select the person that they choose in the election, so that the same person going into the fall will have a full head of steam, so to speak, of the momentum of already having served and the power of incumbency. But, of course, all the other candidates, the candidate that the insiders expect to be chosen by the party is a guy named Pat Mulvihill, who's a former Fisher administration official. He works in the Jefferson County Attorney's Office, and this stinks of politics. I mean, the 13 candidates should have their opportunity to go before the Metro Council, make their case, and, the winner wins. So, I don't know. I'm going to be watching that story very closely because, those seats on the Metro Council are hard to come by, and whoever is selected by the Metro Council will have an advantage in future elections. So we'll see what happens with that. That's going to happen in the very near future. So on to a happier story. I tell you, I really like this because, I work out in Riverport is where my job is. And I found a place that's not a chain restaurant to go and have lunch. It's called the Jesse's Good Old Dixie Diner. If you remember, I had Cindy Tandy on the show a few weeks back, and we did our interview at this location. And it's in Valley Station, and it's just a great place. The food's great. The owner there is a guy named Tom Whitted, and it was the oddest thing. You know, I've railed about Kentucky's alcohol laws being so stupid and dumb, and they really are. And there's this one little pocket of Valley Station that has been dry. Believe it or not, it affects two businesses. It affects a gas station and the Dixie Diner. If you can imagine that one little pocket of dry, one little district that's dry out there, and has prevented the Witted from serving alcohol in his restaurant, and they're doing just fine without it. But you know, it's just like the government telling you what you know. It's like if there were a ban on selling chicken or something. It doesn't make any sense. So anyway, they had this election Tuesday, and it doesn't affect that many people. But the vote was 102-31, and the good news is the wet side won 102-31, and so Jesse's will be able to start serving alcohol out there on Dixie Highway. It just, you know, I've talked to Tom about it, and I'm just thrilled that he's going to get to serve alcohol there. It's just a marvelous, it's an old fashioned diner. And if you're ever out Dixie Highway, you should really go by there. So what a cool place. So also wanted to update you on a few things. One thing I've started doing on my Rusty Satellite Show Facebook page is highlighting some of our former Rusty Satellite guests, Rusty Satellite alumni, if you will. And there's been some, you know, because they are the most interesting people in the Ville. There are interesting things happening to or for or achievements being made by some of the folks that have been on this show. Like, for instance, there was a story in the Courier today about David Jones Jr. and his wife, Mary Gwen Wheeler, the education power couple in Louisville. David was on show number 21 way back when. We're on 83 now, so it's been about a year ago. More recently, Jason Falls, who's a digital media guru, expert. He won the Louisville Ad Bowl on the Super Bowl. It was a contest to see who could get the most retweets of things they comments they made about the game. I don't know. The game was just very memorable for the mistake that the Seahawks made at the end with Russell Wilson throwing that interception. I hated it because I hate Tom Brady. You know how that goes. So another guy, if you remember, the news came out this week. Nick Stover, who had this great job at UofL, and he does all the social media for the athletic department, and he was on show number 54. He's moved on to go to work for Body Shapes Medical. A curious move, if you ask me. I'm surprised that he made that move, because I thought his job was so cool. But he moved on. So anyway, and there was also wanted to mention there was a story in Louisville.com about podcast and you know, I think a year and a half into it, I think for me, podcasts are becoming a more of an accepted part of our society and all that. So Louisville.com, you can find that on the Rusty Satellite Show Facebook page. You can see a list of local podcasts, of which you might tune in. I'm not sure when it's going to air, but this week I'm going to be a guest on a podcast, the improvisers at the show What Happens Next, which is on Louisville.am, have invited me to be on their show. So we'll see how that goes. I'll try my comedy chops. See if I can come up with a joke or two or just improvise. I haven't listened to the show yet, so I've got to figure out how to do that. So anyway, a lot going on. Very happy to be doing this show and interviewing these people. My next guest is Craig Greenberg, who, interestingly enough, was a I talked to him. I had to look this up. 15 years ago, I was a reporter at Business First, and I interviewed him about something he was doing. He was only 26, an upcoming lawyer. Craig's a smart guy. He's very personable. He's got a degree. He's went to Harvard. He went to the University of Michigan, and he's just landed on one of the most exciting development companies in the country, I think, with 21C Hotel Corporation. I went up to their offices on Main Street, talked to Craig for the show, and let's go on and get into the interview. And I'm privileged today to be up at the headquarters of the 21C Hotel with the president, Craig Greenberg. Craig, great to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, let's just get this out of the way. I looked this up, and the last time I did an interview with you that I can remember was 15 years ago.
That's crazy.
And I mentioned in the story about what you were doing with the law firm and e-commerce, your young age, 26. So Now you're a grizzled old 41.
That's right. That's right. There's a lot. I've done a seen a lot in the past 15 years.
I know. I think you've had a more productive 15 years than I have. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's been really, really interesting and really fun, too.
All right. Well, let's talk. I mean, 21C to me, you know, I think it has a reputation here in Louisville, at least, as just being cool. You know, it's a cooler place to stay. But before we get into that, just tell me how you came to this position.
Well, back when we last talked, I was practicing law. And through a mutual friend, I was very fortunate back in 2001 to be introduced to Steve Wilson and Laura Lee Brown. And they were looking for someone to help them with a variety of legal matters. And so I started helping them with various legal matters. And over time, we became better friends, and we started working closely together and really enjoyed doing things with each other. And one thing has led to another since that wonderful meeting with them back in 2001, which was really even before 21C was even a concept.
Right.
And a few years later, they decided that they really wanted to help revitalize the West Main Historic District of downtown Louisville to make it a more energetic and vibrant place, which mm-hmm. is tough for people to remember what was here that many years ago, but it was a very, very different place than it is today. And Steve and Laura Lee are very passionate about collecting and displaying innovative contemporary art, and they're passionate about preserving rural farmland. And one way that you can help prevent suburban sprawl into rural farmland is by revitalizing urban areas. And so they wanted to merge those two passions together, and that really is how 21C Museum Hotel was created. And I was fortunate to have the opportunity to help them put that project together, working mostly on the development and financing side of things back in the early 2000s. We opened in March of 2006. It's crazy to think we're coming up on our ninth anniversary.
Ninth year. Wow. Time flies.
And one thing has led to another since then.
Yeah. Well, it's great. And I guess you actually left the law firm and became president here, what, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it's been several years. I don't know. 3-4 years I was back of time. It's flying by so quickly.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess I want to ask you first about Louisville, and I want to get to some of the other things with 21C. But in Louisville, you know, right now you're right on the cutting edge of things in the hotel industry. We're having a boom down here downtown. There's a lot of new hotels opening up. A lot of people read that and they ask me, you know, how are all these hotels going to stay open and stay busy? There's not that much business. So what do you say to those people?
Well, it's interesting. Louisville is a really strong hotel market, which might surprise local people. But a combination of the strong convention business that we have here, whether it's either conventions out at the fairground or downtown, there's a lot of business travel to the area in all of the areas of business that we all know about. And it's just a really strong market. And so I think that the new products, the new hotels that are coming on the market, there will be demand for that. And the new Omni, while it's providing a lot of new rooms, they will actually create more demand with more of their own meetings, more citywide conventions, more upscale conventions, if you will. And so I think things are going to continue to do well. It's one thing that's interesting for my colleagues and I to see is that we're in many markets across the country, either with existing hotels, where we're building hotels, or where we're looking to build hotels. And Louisville, for it's a city of its size, is really, really strong.
Wow. Well, you know, you mentioned the Omni, and I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, it may be a bad subject, but I know you're involved in a big, big project that never got off the ground here. The challenges here with the Omni, I guess you think that it's really going to happen.
I think it will happen. I've gotten to know some of the folks from the Omni organization, and they run a really, really solid business. They're in growth mode. They're running good properties. I've stayed at their property down in the Nashville, which I think is a really great convention center hotel. Mm-hmm. And based on my conversations with them and folks of the city, I believe it will happen, and I believe it will be a product hotel and conference center that the city is proud of and is excited about.
Yeah.
And having the grocery store, that part of it, I think will be really, really helpful for all of downtown beyond just the hotel rooms and also the apartments that they're going to create. Having more people live in downtown Louisville, I think, is the most important thing that the city can be doing and trying to help make happen right now in downtown Louisville development.
Well, certainly it's hard to imagine all this
stuff happening downtown. You know, 15 years ago when we were doing this thing, you know, it was nothing like this. There was no 21C or anything like that. Let's talk about 21C for a minute, because I know that, you know, it seems to me so what would be very difficult, a difficult thing to do would be to start a new chain of hotels and put them in cities across the country. But that seems to be a lot of what 21C is doing. How are you going about that? What's the business strategy there?
Very carefully is how we're doing it. To us, 21C Museum Hotel is first and foremost a contemporary art museum where all of our public space is free and open to the public with rotating curated exhibitions of really innovative art of the moment from living artists. And so that's how we start all of our projects and then build a great food and beverage experience, a great social experience, cultural experience, and hotel experience around that. And so we're very careful about what projects we take on. It takes longer to grow and create new projects than maybe for other hotel companies, because all of our individual properties are unique. While we think there's a common energy and a common approach and a common set of sensibilities and hospitality with all 21C Museum hotels, they're certainly not cookie cutter. They don't all look the same. Mm-hmm. And so turning them into realities takes quite a while. And so we're very careful about where we go. They're also expensive and tough to finance, so that takes some time. Yeah. But we're really thrilled that we have three open right now. We're going to open our fourth in Durham, North Carolina, in the next couple of months. Then Lexington and Oklahoma City, and we own two other properties in Kansas City and Nashville. So that will bring us to eight, and there are several others that we're really close on. Wow. So we're really excited about the prospects for the future.
And as a business, I know these headquarters, you got a lot of people working here, right?
We do. It's crazy for me to think from where we came 10 years ago when we first started working on this to where we are today. But company-wide, we have over 550 employees at all of our properties. Here in Louisville, just in our corporate headquarters, we have approximately 30 employees, plus about 125 next door at 21C Louisville.
Wow. Well, of course, next door is a fantastic site. I'm sure. I mean, people always wonder about the. This always happens. But and I'm sure this was whose idea was it to put the David out on the corner? You know, because that must be what people ask you about more than as much as anything, right?
Yeah, the penguins and David are what we get asked questions about. That was Steve Wilson's idea. Steve is a true visionary in many respects, and a lot of things that you see in 21C came from Steve's
right.
Very creative brain. And so there's a Turkish artist, Serkan Oskaya, who's into replicas and what that means and what is art. Mm-hmm. Is that piece of art that is a exact 2x replica of the real statue of David that's then painted this gilded color gold? Is that art? Is it a replica? And so those are the questions that as an artist Serkan likes to ask. And so Steve was really taken by that piece, by the artist himself. We've worked with him on some other pieces. And so that piece came across the ocean from Istanbul.
Wow.
And made its way here to Louisville. And we're thrilled to have it. It's a great icon, not just for 21C, but we think for the entire area.
But there is, and there is, in the art, I try to stop in here every time I'm in the neighborhood just to see what's new. It's a constantly evolving sort of art museum, I guess. That really makes this place stand out, I think.
There's no doubt. That really, really is important to us as a business and as people to have a wonderful art exhibition space that can expand people's horizons, get them to think about things in new ways, to maybe learn about different cultures, different people, different areas of the world. And so having rotating shows is really fun and keeps the space interesting. And that plus our great people and the hospitality that they provide every day, I think, is what keeps people coming back.
Yeah, and I want to ask you one last thing about the hotel, because I was reading about all the causes that you're behind. I know that Steve and Laura are just really behind a lot of causes, a lot of, like, you know, like you said, the farm thing. Mm-hmm. Where does that fit into running a business?
Oh, I think that you can have very strong community civic improvement goals while at the same time running and building a profitable business. And mm-hmm. I think I'm fortunate that together Steve, Laura Lee, myself, and my other great colleagues have found a way to do that, where we can develop profitable hotels on their own while also helping to revitalize communities and neighborhoods. And that's something that we're really proud of and that we're really committed to, even as we continue to grow.
Okay. Okay. Well, we just got a few more minutes here. Greg, I just want to ask you about, you personally, this has got to be quite a heady place for you. You know, a relatively young age, you're head of this big hotel corporation. Must be crazy for your family. What's your day like?
Every day is different, and that's one of the things I love about what I do, is I get to work with great people, meet a lot of great people, and every day is different. I do travel a lot these days and looking at the new properties that we're working on, whether it's dealing with financing issues for our projects, dealing with issues in the industry, the hotel industry at large. So I am on the road a lot, and so that's certainly trying to balance. Basically my life right now is either all 21C or all family, but I love it, and I try to spend as much time as possible with my wife and two sons, and I'm really having a great time as a father and a husband as much as I am being president of 21C.
Well, it seems like there might be a few perks in the job, right?
Well, you sometimes get to do some really interesting and fun things or with fun people.
Yeah.
My sons love coming to our hotels, so whether we go up to Cincinnati or drive to new spots that we're looking at, they love to be a part of that as well, so we can sort of sometimes combine the two, but it's been great.
Well, it sounds great. Well, it's very exciting, a very exciting place, and I'm really glad that you guys are having this great hotel in this town and spreading the message to other places as well, Craig.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been great being with you today.
All right, Craig. I did not get offered a free night stay or any goodies or a penguin or anything down there at the with Craig, but had a great time talking to him and catching up. And it's really something. All the hotel development that's going on in downtown Louisville. It's very exciting and exciting to see the growth of downtown Louisville. It's not too like when we did that interview 15 years ago. There was nothing going on downtown. It was sort of a ghost town at night. But that's no longer the case. Thanks to companies like 21C that are investing in and believing in downtown Louisville. That's about it for the show this week. I want to mention that one thing that I did, I got a chance to go see see Ben Folds with the Louisville Orchestra on Saturday night. It was a sold out show at the Kentucky Center. I've got a review of it on louisvilleky.com, and it's very exciting what's going on with the orchestra, with Teddy Abrams as the new conductor, and I'm going to have Teddy on the show in a couple of weeks, and you'll hear from him about all the exciting things. The orchestra is just changing. They got all this new energy. It's really great. And also, as an update, I'm still doing my work with Lenny Mello at Pillar Health and Sports Performance over at the Louisville Tennis Club. I'm really getting a lot more flexible, I think. I haven't started losing weight yet. I hope to. I tell you, if you want to work, you're get ready for the golf season. I think it's going to be, I'm just hoping it's going to be in the 50s this weekend. I can get out on the golf course. But Lenny has already helped me immensely. I've been at it, maybe 3 weeks. And I think it's really doing me some good. I recommend it highly. Lenny Mello at the Pillar Health and Sports Performance. You can get a hold of him out at the Louisville Tennis Club. So anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Really enjoyed talking with you this week and introducing you to Stu Pollard and Craig Greenberg. Thank them for being on the show. I'd like to also mention my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, Louis Authentic Detroit Pizza, and my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, who always does a great job of putting the show together and putting all my various components of this puzzle that is the Rusty Satellite Show together. Until we get together again next week, make it a habit to tell your friends and download the Rusty Satellite Show every week. I just took a peek at my statistics, my download statistics. They're phenomenally better than I expected, I guess I would say. And things are going well. So, again, that's going to be do it for the Rusty Satellite Show. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
airplanes into buildings every time.